This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome, dear brothers and sisters, to what is actually our final class from the Blessed Change of Heart series. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it and to forgive the sins that were definitely part of the series. And the idea of the series is to really excite inside of you an interest to continue your study in the topic of A'malul Qulub, the actions of the heart. And just as importantly, I encourage you individually, dear brothers and sisters, to revisit the entire series. It's up on YouTube, alhamdulillah. Jazallah khair, our brother Hamad has done all of the hard work really behind the scenes. Revisit it again and again. And I claim, alhamdulillah, that the content that I shared with you is something that I didn't find a huge amount of it in the English language. So don't let the last connection you have with these classes end in another 55 minutes. Make it the beginning of your relationship with this topic and revisit the lectures again and again. And if you haven't been taking proper notes, compensate by going back and taking proper notes. What was our last week's session about? Do you remember? About sabr, about patience. And who can remember the headings that we covered in order, please? Heading number one, the meaning of sabr. We looked at the linguistic and the technical definition of sabr, so that when we say patience, we know what we are talking about. And then we went on to speak about a comparison between patience and gratitude. And we showed three opinions. And then we went on to speak about the status of sabr in the eyes of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then we looked at the conditions for patience. And we addressed how many? Three. And then we concluded by looking at the stories of the people of patience. And it was just a snapshot. We promised that we will speak about patience part two this evening, but from which perspective? Yeah, how to foster patience, how to attain it. Before I share with you these 11 steps for myself and for you, for those who feel that their patience is a major work in progress, and each of you knows himself, herself better than anyone else, I want you to realize that these steps that I'm going to share with you must not be taken for granted. And say, alhamdulillah, that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has gifted you with these mechanisms to develop these virtues in your life. And if you are not too sure what I am talking about, ask the people who live this world without the religion of Islam. How do they cope? Because being in the life of this world is hard. Living in this abode is no easy task. Filled with temptations and trials and all sorts. And so if you have no religion to help you cope as you live in this world, then you will have to look elsewhere to opiate the pain of being in this world. And that explains why people go on to do bizarre things with themselves, with their bodies, with their identities. What are they doing? It is a cry for help in most cases. It is a desire to find relief and to sedate the pain of being in dunya. So you try to find yourself in someone or something because there is no religion in your life. There is no Islam. So being in this world is difficult. And being in this world without Islam makes it exponentially more difficult. So I will share with you a few steps intended to ease the pain of living in dunya and to cultivate patience and to foster it properly. And we're going to divide this study into two parts. We're going to have the first part, which is about the doing. Three practical steps that you and I can take to develop patience in our life. And then when we've covered those, we'll move on to the cognitive matters. Matters that you and I are expected to recall, to remember, to help attain patience. And these will be another 8 steps, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So all in all, you will have 11. Are you ready? Bismillah, let us begin. The first of these steps, and this is coming under the heading of the doing, the practical matters, these are the verbs, is to act with patience, even if you feel that it is contrived at first, meaning you feel it is artificial, it's not you, you're failing. Act with patience and allow yourself to fail and realize that patience can be cultivated, it can grow. This is a very important principle, to realize that patience is a skill, a personality trait that can be learned. It's not something that you merely inherit from a parent. You have it or you don't. It can be acquired. And the fact that there came a point in your life when you used to get hungry, you used to kick up a huge fuss, you cried, you shouted, you kicked, you screamed, and now you're not doing that anymore when you're hungry, at least I hope that we're not. That is an evidence that patience can be learned. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, emphasizing this meaning, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرُهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever acts with patience, Allah will give him patience. يَتَصَبَّرْ, on the pattern of يَتَفَعَلْ, meaning you are exerting an effort to act with patience, though it may be artificial at first, eventually what is the outcome? Cause and effect, practice makes perfect, patience becomes part of your personality. So, a difficult situation comes your way, and you think, ah, طيب, sabr, patience, and you fail dismally. 99% failure rate. Don't focus on the 99, you succeeded by 1%, work with that. Then once you've tied up the loose ends, you move on to event number 2 that comes, the loss of money, someone insults you, somebody frustrates you, whatever it may be, you think, ah, sabr, patience, you fail dismally, but this time it's a 75% failure rate. The 25%, look, it is growing, and so on and so forth, till the trait of sabr becomes your second name. وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرُهُ اللَّهُ. The promise of the Prophet ﷺ. He who acts with patience, Allah will give him patience. And that applies to every other virtue that you may admire in people. What is step number 1, Ya Malik? Act with patience, even if it is contrived. Number 2, redirect your energy and thoughts. In the sense that a difficult situation has come your way, you are going through a tough challenge. You really have one of two logical options. Either you sit where you are, ideally, wallowing in self-pity, feeling sorry for yourself, reliving the tragedy, going over the details, or you can choose to put your energy and thought and your mind into something beneficial to get up and do something. And that's why there is an amazing Chinese proverb that says, you can't prevent the birds of grief from hovering over your head, but you can prevent those birds from nesting within your head. Do you get it? Misery, difficult times, they have to pass by. That's the nature of dunya. You can't control that. But what you can control is the prevention of these difficulties from getting a hold of you, from nesting into your head, from extending their tentacles into your essence and getting a hold of you. That you can control. So redirect your energy and thought and allow patience to grow. And much of this, brothers and sisters, is about emphasizing thought over feeling. Much of this is about learning how to separate between how you feel and your situation. Many a times people conflate between the two, so they become miserable and impatient. They're mixing between their feelings, their emotions, and the reality of the situation. But when you look at it from a third person perspective, they're not interlinked, they're separate, so separate them. Realize that your feelings are not always an accurate portrayal of reality. That helps with patience. And that is why when you are down, you are not seeing the world for how it is. You are not seeing matters according to how they are. You are seeing matters according to how you are. You are broken inside, so you see everything around you as broken. You feel wounded, damaged inside, so everything around you seems damaged and wounded. Separate between your thought and your reality, and then redirect your thoughts, your strengths, your energy, your fikr, your contemplation into something beneficial. Get up and help someone. Find someone who is impoverished, offer them a loan. Track down someone who's hungry, offer them food. Find someone who is stressed, console them. Find someone who's been let down, support them. Remove the burdens of people so that Allah will remove your own. And that is why Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْسَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. When you are told to make space in the public assemblies, make space. Allah will make space for you. Make space for people, and Allah will make space for you. And notice how the ayah did not specify what type of space Allah will give you in return. Space in your wealth, space in your health, space in your mental well-being, space in your grave, space on the day of judgment, space in Jannah. None of it was specified. Why? To include it all. So you are down, you are going through a tragedy, redirect your thoughts. Focus your attention into something productive. Don't sit idly replaying your tragedy. Go and find someone to help, and then the divine intervention is on his way. Allah Almighty will now help you. This is step number two for those of us who want to cultivate their sabr, their patience. Redirect your thought and your energy and your strength into something beneficial and productive. And don't sit idly. Number three, retreat to the fortress of salah, prayer, and dhikr, the remembrance of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. The ones who will be able to tell you of how effective this strategy is are only the ones who've experienced it. The ones whom they find themselves stressed, afraid, anxious, and they say Allahu Akbar after spreading out the prayer mat, and now they are standing in the hands of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, complaining and sobbing to Him, to then be infused with a sense of relief only they can describe. Dhikr, the dhikr of Allah and salah. Who do you know suffered more pressure in his life than our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Prophet Muhammad? In Mecca and in Medina. And so Allah Almighty gave him verses from the Quran to console him and to help him with patience. What did Allah Almighty say to him? These are also for you as tools. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, Inna nahnu nazzalna alayka al-Qur'ana tanzila. We were the ones who brought the Qur'an down upon you, O Prophet, in stages. Fasbir li hukmi rabbik. So be patient to the command of your Lord. Wala tuti' minhum athiman aw kafura. And do not obey any sinner amongst them or disbeliever. How do I be patient, O Allah? Listen to the verse after it. وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Remember the name of your Lord in the morning and evening. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ. And during the night. فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ. Prostrate to Him. وَسَبِّحْهُ لَيْلًا وَطَوِيلًا. And glorify Him for a long, long part of the night. يا سلام. ذكر and صلاح. These were the coping mechanisms given by Allah to His favored Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, to help him be patient. حذيفة رضي الله عنه said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا حزبه أمر صلى. Whenever the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was given distressful news, he would turn to salah. Imagine someone saying to him, such and such has happened. Really? Just give me a moment. Allahu Akbar. As if to say, Ya Rab, I am handing over the reins of this difficulty to you. You navigate the way. You show me how to emerge from this distress. Dhikr and salah. Musa and Harun are instructed by Allah to go to the Pharaoh, and they were afraid. They said, he will transgress, he will kill. Oh Allah, we are afraid. And one of the tools Allah gave them both is what? Surah Taha, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي. Do not stop remembering me. This is what will help the believer traverse this difficult abode and help him or her be patient. So these are the three under the heading of what? The things to do, the practical matters. What are they again? Hashim, what was number one? To act with patience. Number two? Redirect your energy and thoughts. Number three? Somebody from this side. As-salah and al-dhikr. Very good. Now we turn to the second segment, slightly longer. These are the cognitive matters, i.e., these are the things to remember when a calamity befalls you. And I want to say here something very important. When a difficulty comes your way, especially if it's there clutching you for a long time, it is very easy for the human heart to degenerate into a state of resentment and bitterness towards Allah. And it begins to turn hard as you ask, why? And the burden of patience and the advice of being patient becomes more of a burden than it is relief. You begin to say things like, until when? That is how people behave if, underline the word if you do not have a sense of proportion to these difficulties. If you do not feel that there is wisdom behind them. If you believe that they are devoid of meaning. If, however, you are, as a Muslim, you are able to formulate an idea, a reason, a purpose behind these difficulties that have come your way, even if it is vague, all of a sudden you become positive. All of a sudden you realize that the sun does rise upon planet Earth. You realize that the world is not out of sync, and you realize that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is not unjust. How and when? That's when you feel and you believe that there is reason, purpose, wisdom behind what you are experiencing. I say this as an introduction to these next 8 points that I'm going to share with you, matters of perception, matters to keep in mind. As it's not always just about doing, it's also about believing, accepting, being aware, perceiving. So I share with you 8 of them. The first of these 8 is to remember that this is the nature of dunya. This is the nature of life. It was never supposed to be Darul Jaza, a home of reward. It was intended to be Darul Bala, an abode of tribulation. That's the purpose of dunya. That's the very first step for he or she who wants to cultivate patience to come to grips with this reality and to accept it gracefully. The same way, the very first step for a student of knowledge who wants to learn and increase in understanding, the very first step for him or her is to accept that they are ignorant of the matter at hand. If you come into the matter believing you know it all, you can't learn. What's the first step of being a student? Is to accept that you don't know. Then your heart is open and you can begin to learn and grow. The same thing applies to sabr, patience, the exact same principle. The very first step to be aware of if you want to foster sabr, patience in your life, is that life is not intended to be easy, and accept it gracefully. Everything else comes second place. Everything else follows. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في كبد. Allah said, we have created man in turmoil. That's dunya. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. You are toiling towards your Lord. A great toiling till the day you meet Him. Accept that reality and surrender to it. Then you will be able to relax. And you won't be too shocked when you feel that life has betrayed you with an unfortunate event. And that's why our poets, subhanAllah, they've been singing about this matter. Even before Islam, they realized that this dunya, one day is for you, one day is against you. Don't expect it to be any other way. Abu al-Baqa al-Randi, he said in his long couplets of poetry, in his obituary of Al-Andalus, when it was lost to the Christians, he said, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا مَا تَمَّ نُقْصَانُ فَلَا يُغَرَّ بِطِيبِ الْعَيْشِ إِنسَانُ هِيَ الْأُمُورُ كَمَا شَاهَدْتُهَا دُوَلٌ مَنْ سَرَّهُ زَمَنٌ سَاءَتْهُ أَزْمَانُ. He says, everything when it reaches its pinnacle, its peak, its completion, this is the beginning of its decline. So nobody should be deceived by dunya, he said. He said, life is something that will make you happy in some of its phases, but it will also depress you in others. And Labid ibn Abi Rabi'a, from the Jahili, pre-Islamic poets, he says, وَمَا الْمَالُ وَالْأَهْلُونَ إِلَّا وَدِيعَةٌ وَلَا بُدَّ يَوْمًا أَن تُرَدَّ الْوَدَائِعُ. He said, what is money and children but a loan? And every loan has to be paid back. La ilaha illallah. This is dunya. So accept it for what it is. See, for me, I believe that some of the ways that we react when a calamity comes our way, the impatience, the shouting, the shock, the misery, the crumbling, the displeasure, the discontentment, these negative expressions many times are the product of not accepting this point that I'm sharing with you. This person fails to accept that this is the reality of dunya. You should not expect it to be any other way. And that's why Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he said, الدُّنْيَا كُلُّهَا غُمُومٌ. Life is filled with grief. فَمَا كَانَ مِنْهَا مِنْ سُرُورٍ فَهُوَ رِبْحٍ. So any good moment you experience in life, consider it a bonus. That's a healthy mentality to approach dunya. Consider the default as grief, misery. And if moments of relief come your way and moments of happiness and peace of mind, consider it a bonus, savor it, enjoy it, but also accept it as an exception to the rule. So this is number one. Accept dunya for what it is. Remember, dunya is an abode of tribulation. This will help with patience. Number two, remember that the elevators of a believer in the hereafter is hardship. A lot of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us a position in Jannah that we don't deserve. For many of us, Allah Almighty intends a position in paradise that our deeds do not qualify us for. And He knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that so long as we live in this world, we're not going to pick up on our game. We're not going to learn how to read Quran. We're not going to pray at night. We're not going to improve our hijab. We're not going to change our ways. We're not going to cut our habits. But Allah wants to give you a place in Jannah that you and I don't deserve. So what will He do? Seeing that you will not change your ways, He will send a calamity your way to qualify you for a high position in Jannah that He knows your deeds would never be sufficient for. That is generosity and mercy at its peak. And that is why Abu Dawood narrates in his Sunan that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا سَبَقَتْ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَنْزِلَهُ لَمْ يَبْلُغْهَا بِعَمَلِهِ إِبْتَلَاهُ اللَّهُ فِي مَالِهِ أَوْ فِي جَسَدِهِ أَوْ فِي وَلَدِهِ. When Allah has decreed for a person a certain high position in Jannah, paradise, that his deeds don't qualify him for, Allah will send him a calamity in his body, your health, or your wealth, or your children. ثُمَّ يُصَبِّرُهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ. Then Allah inspires him to be patient over that trial. حَتَّى يُبَلِّغَهُ الْمَنْزِلَةَ الَّتِي سَبَقَتْ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And therefore Allah qualifies him for the position in Jannah that he intended for him. Allahu Akbar. This is generosity at its peak. So to realize that what difficult circumstance you may be going through, that's what's going to take to a place in Jannah that your deeds couldn't have taken you to. So enjoy it, savor it, thank Allah Almighty for it, say Alhamdulillah, show Him gratitude and rida, contentment. And believe me when I say this, when you and I see the reward that will be distributed to the people of patience on the Day of Judgment, we would wish that we had not experienced a second worth of well-being in the life of this world. You will say, I wish my whole life was one journey of a toothache. Women will say, I wish that my entire life was in the pain of labor. I wish that my kidney stone never left me. I wish that I never recovered from grieving and mourning during my bereavement. I wish that I never made a penny. I wish that I never took shade. I wish that I suffered. When you see the reward of the people of patience given to them on the Day of Judgment. Now you and I will never make such a wish in the life of this world. Of course, we're not required to do that. But that's how we will think on the Day of Judgment. You ask for the evidence, I share with you a clear evidence. At-Tirmidhi narrates in his Sunan, on the authority of Jabir, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in a remarkable hadith, he said, يَوَدُّ أَهْلُ الْعَافِيَةِ حِينَ يُعْطَى أَهْلُ الْبَلَاءِ الثَّوَابِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَوْ أَنَّ جُلُودَهُمْ كَانَتْ قَدْ قُرِضَتْ بِالْمَقَارِيضِ. He said that the people who were living in well-being, healthy, comfortable, when they see the reward on the Day of Judgment being distributed to the people of patience, they will wish that their skins were cut with scissors all throughout their life. They would wish that. A man called Ibrahim al-Maghribi was kicked by a camel and it broke his leg. What did he say? He said, لَوْلَا مَصَائِبُ الدُّنْيَا لَقَدِمْنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَفَالِيسِ. If it wasn't for the calamities of life, we would meet Allah penniless. If it wasn't for these difficulties that come our way, we'd have nothing to offer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. So if you have been put on a path of tribulation, realize that you've been put on a path and a staircase to Jannah. This is point number two. Yeah, these trials that you are experiencing, this difficulty, this lack of peace of mind, these are your elevators in the hereafter. Number three, realize and remember that the finest of all believers are the ones who are tested. It's only because you occupy a high status in the eyes of Allah that He sent you your trial. So don't be discontent, thank Him. And that is why I share with you a hadith. I think a lot of you will hear this hadith for the first time. A hadith which Ahmad narrates in his Musnad on the authority of Abu Hurairah, that an Arab Bedouin man was walking past the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this Arab Bedouin man was strong, tough, full of energy and vigor, and he was self-impressed by his own strength. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him. He had some questions for him. He said to him, "Mata ahsasta bi ummi mildam?" When was the last time you experienced ummu mildam? He said, "What is ummu mildam?" He said, "Al-humma, a fever." He said, "What is a fever?" He said to him, "Sakhanatun takunu bayna al-idhami wal-jild." A fever is a sense of heat that affects you between your bones and your skin. He said, "Mali bidalika ahd." I've never experienced that before. I've had a fever. He said to him, "I have another question for you. Mata hasasta bis-sudaa?" When was the last time you had a headache? The man said, "Wama sudaa?" What is a headache? He said to him, "Darabanun yakunu bis-sudghaini war-ra's." It is a thumping that happens in the temple and the head. He said, "Mali bidalika ahd." Never experienced that before. So he left. And when he left, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, "Man sarrahu an yanzura ila rajulin min ahli an-nari falyanzur ila hadha." Whoever of you wants to see a man who will go to hell, you are to look at that man over there. You live in this world and you're not complaining of any pain, no difficulty, no suffering. That can't be the way of a believer. Because إِنَّ عِظَمَ الْجَزَاءِ مَعَ عِظَمِ الْبَلَاءِ. The enormity of reward is connected to the enormity of suffering. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ. And when Allah loves a people, He tests them. And أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ مِنَ النَّاسِ. When Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas asked the Prophet ﷺ, who are those who suffer the most in life? He didn't say to him, the fornicators or the users of interest. He said to him, what? The prophets. They suffer the most. Then those who resemble them most in personality and behavior. So who are the ones? Who are the ones who suffer the most? They are the finest of Allah's creation. Use that to console you when you are going through a tough time. This is number what? Number three. Number four, remember that what you are experiencing is a medicine. So accept it gracefully. Realize that the medicine that Allah has sent you can take many different forms. And medicine by its nature is bitter. And so don't ruin the healing properties of this medicine by complaining and expressing discontentment at what Allah has sent your way. It's a medicine that you needed. And I translate to you the beautiful words of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, who describes this matter so vividly. Listen to what he said. He said, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ تَعَالَى يُدَاوِي عِبَادَهُ بِأَدْوِيَةِ الْمِحَنِ وَالْإِبْتِلَاءِ لَطَغَوْا وَبَغَوْا وَعَتَوْا. He said, if it wasn't for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends medicines to His servants by way of tests and afflictions, they would have become haughty and arrogant, and they would oppress and transgress. And then he said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى إِذَا أَرَادَ بِعَبْدِهِ خَيْرًا. And when Allah Almighty intends good for a person, what happens? سَقَاهُ دَوَاءً مِنَ الْمِحَنِ وَالْبَلَاءِ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ حَالِهِ. When Allah intends good for a person, He gives him a drink of medicine in the forms of trials and pains, according to what you deserve. يَسْتَفْرِغُ بِهِ مِنَ الْأَدْوَاءِ الْمُهْلِكَةِ. Causing you to vomit out fatal illnesses that were inside of you. حَتَّى إِذَا هَذَّبَهُ وَنَقَّاهُ وَصَفَّاهُ. Till Allah refined you, purifies you, shapes you, cleanses you. أَهَلَهُ لِأَشْرَفِ مَرَاتِبِ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ عُبُودِيَّتُهُ. Allah then raises your level and qualifies you for the highest position in dunya, and that is to be a proper servant of Allah. وَأَرْفَعِ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ وَهِيَ رُؤْيَتُهُ وَقُرْبُهُ. And raises you to the highest levels in the hereafter, and that is being near to Allah and seeing Him. La ilaha illallah. So you are to see what difficulty has come your way as a medicine that you needed. So this is number what? This is number four. See it as a medicine that you needed desperately. Number five, realize that impatience does not improve your situation. Remember that. Impatience does not make your situation any better. So you go through a calamity, something really upsets you, bothers you to the core. So you kick and shout and you smash and you swear, you curse. Has your loved one come back? Has your money been restored? Have you been avenged? Nothing of that has changed. So impatience only adds to your calamity. It does not remove it. And that's why I love the words of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali radiallahu anhu when he said, إِن صَبَرْتَ جَرَى عَلَيْكَ الْقَدَرُ وَأَنْتَ مَأْجُورُ وَإِن جَزَعْتَ جَرَى عَلَيْكَ الْقَدَرُ وَأَنْتَ مَأْزُورُ. If you are patient during your calamity, the decree of Allah will pass over you, but you will have reward. But if you are impatient, the decree of Allah will still pass over you, but you will be sinful. So it's not going to change. The only thing that will change is what? The status, your status, post-calamity. Are you going to be in a state of ajr and growth? Or will you be in a state of sin and degeneration? The qadr of Allah, the decree has passed. Impatience does not improve your situation. So when a trial comes your way, a tragedy befalls you, don't add to that calamity another one, the calamity of missing out on the reward. Because the latter will be far more severe than the former if you miss out on the hasanat. That's number five. Number six, to remember that your problem is only as big as you make it to be. Why is it that when you look into some of the issues of these so-called third world countries that are existential in their nature? I mean, I'm not talking about social media and embellishments. I'm talking about sanitation, talking about heating, talking about shelter, talking about safety, talking about clean water, basics that you and I have, they don't have it. Yet they're coping, a lot of them, plodding along courageously, they're coping. And then you look into our so-called first world developed countries, and our threshold for pain is so low. I mean, someone may take away his life if somebody unsubscribes from his socials. What happened? That shows you that by and large, it's about how big you make the problem. The Arabs, they have a proverb that says, هَوِّنْهَا وَتَهُونَ هَوِّنْهَا وَتَهُونَ. How do you translate that? I'm asking you.
Act like it's easy and it's going to be
easy. Yeah, good. Yeah, which essentially, diminish it and it will diminish. It seems like a no-brainer, right? هَوِّنْهَا. Shrink it. Shrink the problem. And it will shrink in reality. Shrink it in your mind and it will shrink in reality. You know, in the English proverb, it says he makes a mountain out of a molehill. He makes a mountain out of a molehill. So essentially this proverb is saying, flip it on its head by saying, make the mountain into a molehill. Shrink it. So you will say to me now, how do I shrink my tragedy? How do I shrink my situation that needs patience? I say to you, several filters you got to push it through and it will shrink. It's a mental exercise, subhanAllah. So first, shrink your tragedy or your difficult circumstance by remembering what is worse. It will dwarf it in size. It will give perspective. One of our predecessors, a woman who used to suffer so much, but her coping mechanisms were phenomenal. They said to her, how do you do it? She said, listen to these words. مَا أُصَابُ بِمُصِيبَةٍ فَأَذْكُرُ مَعَهَا النَّارِ إِلَّا صَارَتْ فِي عَيْنِي مِثْلَ الذُّبَابِ. She said, any tragedy that befalls me, instantly I remember Jahannam, the hellfire. And all of a sudden my calamity shrinks to the size of a fly in my eyes. Allahu Akbar. That's one way to shrink it. Think about the hereafter. Think about perspective. Think about how much is awaiting you and I post-death. Your calamity will be given proportion. Number two, shrink it by remembering that your calamity itself could have been worse. You've lost a leg, thank Allah it wasn't both. You've lost an eye, say Alhamdulillah it wasn't both. You've broken your arm, thank Allah it wasn't your spine. You've lost your savings, thank Allah it wasn't your job. Muhammad ibn Wasi developed an ulcer, a huge boil-like illness on his skin. And his friends were horrified at its sight. He said, Alhamdulillah. No, Alhamdulillah, it's fine. Alhamdulillah, annaha laysat fi ayni wala bi tarafi lisani. Alhamdulillah, that the ulcer is not on my tongue or on the tip of my eye. Alhamdulillah. So think of the calamity itself could have been worse. That's another way to shrink it. Number three, shrink it by thanking Allah that the calamity is not in your religion. That's the musibah, when Allah tests you in your commitment as a Muslim and your faith. So long as your tragedy, your trial, your challenge is in dunya, be it people or assets, say Alhamdulillah. It's manageable. And that's why Amirul Mu'mineen Umar, he said, any trial that comes my way, I thank Allah for four things. The first thing he says is that it's not in my religion. Alhamdulillah that it's not in my religion. Number two, Alhamdulillah that Allah inspired me to be content with it. Alhamdulillah that there is a reward in it, and Alhamdulillah that it wasn't worse than it was. Allahu Akbar. So shrink it by realizing that it's not in your religion. Alhamdulillah, it's manageable. And shrink it. And this is point number 8 I'm going to share with you now. Point number 7, I mean to say. Shrink it by remembering that your tragedy is going to pass. It's going to pass. It will not stay forever. No tragedy has ever stayed for anyone forever. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Guarantee, with difficulty there is ease. One of our predecessors, Muhammad ibn Shubruma, whenever he would be affected by a challenge in his life, his motto statement was what? Sahaba, thumma tanqashih. It's a cloud, and it's going to pass. It's a cloud, and it's going to pass. That's the mentality of a believer. How many people do you know who are in the clutches of severe grief, loss of money, loss of friends, loss of family, loss of health, whatever it may be? And during that time, they believe that this will be the misery that will cripple them. This will be the one that will bring them to their knees. This will be the one that will see me never recovering. This will be the one that will drive me to my grave. And guess what happened? Weeks, days, months elapsed. They recovered. They got over it. They moved on. They grew. And now, what was once a heart-wrenching tragedy in the past has now become a distant memory and chit-chat during conversations with family and friends. It will pass. It will pass. But trust the process. Trust Allah Jalla Jalaluh. See, Subhanallah Al-Azim. You remember how it was when you went into the doctor as a child and you needed bloods. And what would the nurse say to you? What is their statement? Sharp scratch. Sharp scratch. And then you cry. And then about 2-3 seconds later, the pain goes. What does the nurse say? See, we're done. It's finished. It's done. So you hug your parent and you cry. Alhamdulillah, it's finished. This is dunya. This is dunya with all of its grief, all of its humum, all of its misery and sorrow. It's just a temporary sharp scratch. Then it's going to pass. Even if that sharp scratch, that tragedy lasts 60 years in your life, 70 years. How long are you going to live for? 80 years, 90 years max? Then you're dead. If all of that was pain and misery, when you compare that with infinity, post-death, what is it equal to? Zero. It's nothing. It's nothing. Sharp scratch. Then it will pass. Trust Allah Almighty. Just don't panic, brothers and sisters. You know, again, when our parents used to launch us as kids into the sky, and they used to see the look in our faces, it was like terror, right? You can't breathe for a split second. Then when they catch you again, what happens? You're laughing. This is dunya. It will launch you. It will put these moments in your heart where you feel, I can't do this one. Then you remember that you are upon the eye of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. You will land in safe hands. Just don't panic. Don't resist. And what is the very first lesson that you received from your swimming coach when you wanted to learn how to float on water? What did they say to you?
Let go.
Let go. Don't fight. Stop kicking the water. Stop resisting. Stop punching. You're going to go deeper. And that is the situation with the believer. Difficulty comes his way, her way. They kick, they push, they shove, they show impatience, they despair, they doubt Allah, and they move deeper into the pits of sin. No, trust the process. Don't panic. But man, by his nature, he can't help it. Why? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Allah said, man by his nature was created anxious. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. When evil touches him, he's impatient. Panics. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. But when good touches him, he withholds. He doesn't want to share. Then Allah gives you the cure. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Except those who pray. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Those who are consistent with their salah. They don't behave in this way. So don't panic. Trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He has never let anyone down who truly relies upon Him.
This is point number what? Point number seven, shrink it. And it will shrink. Diminish it in size in your mind by using these four filters that I helped you with. And it will shrink in its reality. Number eight, and this is the last one, we will conclude with this. Dua. Do we make dua for patience? Do we make dua for sabr? There is a hadith that some have classified as weak and others have deemed it as sound, which At-Tirmidhi narrates in his Sunan, or his Jami'a, we should say, on the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh ibn Jabal narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a man saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka sabr, O Allah, I ask you for patience. And so our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam said to him, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ اللَّهَ الْبَلَاءَ You've just asked Allah for an affliction. You've asked him for a trial. فَسَلْهُ الْعَافِيَةِ Instead, ask Allah for afia, for well-being. Don't ask him for patience. When you ask for patience, it means you're asking for the calamity that comes side by side with the patience that you've asked for. It's a package. So ask Allah for afia, well-being. But now we have the issue of the Quran in at least two passages telling us of people who made dua for patience. In the context of Talut and Jalut, what is the dua? رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا O Allah, pour upon us patience. And in the context of the magicians who became Muslim at the time of Prophet Moses, and they knew that they were going to be executed by the Pharaoh, what did they say? رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا O Allah, pour upon us patience. How do we reconcile between the narration that suggests that asking for patience is not favorable and these ayat in the Quran that makes it clear that it's good to ask for patience? Al-Mulla Ali Qari and others have said that when a person is going through affliction, you are recommended to ask Allah for patience. But when you are going through well-being, you're going through normality, ask Allah for afiyah. Ask Allah for well-being. Is this clear? And that's why when you look at the context of the two verses in the Quran that asked Allah for patience, what were they? Context of difficulty. Talut and Jalut, it was a context of jihad in the path of Allah, a small group against a large group. So they said, pour upon us patience, we need it here. And in the other context of the magicians, they were on the verge of execution. So they said what? Huh? Pour upon us patience, O Allah. But in times of normality, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyah, for well-being. You ask Allah to give us well-being. And that for those who are going through a tough time in their lives, to pour upon them patience. Allahumma ameen. And on that note, I will share with you just one final hadith to conclude the entire series. It's one of the most beautiful ahadith that those who are going through grief can learn of. Memorize this content. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once came into the masjid and he saw a sahabi, a companion by the name of Abu Umama al-Bahili, Abu Umama. And so he came to Abu Umama and he said to him, why is it I see you sat in the masjid at a time when people are not praying? This is not the time for salah, it's the time for work. What did Abu Umama say? Words that you will be able to resonate with. He said, Humumun lazimatni ya Rasulullah wa duyun. Because of burdens that have befallen me, O Allah, and debts that I have. Because of burdens that I have, O Messenger of Allah, and because of debts. And so he said to him, Ala u'allimuka kalaman, idha anta qultahu, adhhab Allahu anka hammak wa qada anka daynak. Shall I not teach you some words? If you were to say them, Allah will remove you from your burdens and He will settle your debts. He said, yes. He said to him, say these words. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from sadness and grief. Wa a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal. And I seek refuge in you from incapacity and laziness. Wa a'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhul. And I seek refuge in you from cowardice and stinginess. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ غَلَبَةِ الدَّيْنِ وَقَهْرِ الرِّجَالِ And I seek refuge in you from being overcome by men and being subdued by debt. Abu Umama said, so I said those words. فَقَضَى فَأَذْهَبَ اللَّهُ عَنِّي غَمِّي وَهَمِّي وَقَضَى عَنِّي دَيْنِي I said those words and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed from me my grief and he paid off my debts. Dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us afiyah in dunya and akhirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon those of us who have passed away and to bring goodness and tawfiq and help and light to those who are alive amongst us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free us from the tribulations of dunya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow growth to be our hallmark. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our teachers and our teachers' teachers and our parents and our grandparents and our children and all of those who have a right upon us. So this is alhamdulillah the end of our series, The Change of Hearts. And we're going to take a break inshallah for a few weeks. And then we will resume inshallah on the 31st. The 31st of this month in Masjid al-Ikhlas, Broadway inshallah. And we will start the Married Ever After series that will last for about 10 weeks inshallah. So until then, barakallahu feekum, sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.